It's the story of a local company that began in 1932, Henges Interiors. I'm your host, Ryan Recker. We're joined with Steve, Mike, and Chris Schulte, along with Dan Bean from CMA, telling the story of family businesses from across the St. Louis region. This is the Business of Family Business, presented by CMA Consulting. Steve, how long have you been in the business?
Well, I've been in the business this year. I'm starting my 48th year.
Yeah, that's amazing. 48 years. It's a long time.
Long time.
What was your role at the very start?
Well, at the very start, I was I was 16 years old, sophomore in high school, and I was approached at, I was working at another job right across the street from where we lived, and one of the guys that worked there asked me if I was looking for a job, and I said, no, I wasn't looking for a job. I got a job. And he said, well, we're hiring production people. We're expanding our business. Would you like to come to work? And I said, how much does it pay? And he said, $2.50 an hour. And at that time, I was making a dollar an hour. So obviously, it's a big difference. So I said, when can I start?
Is that how easy it was to pick up a job then? You just had to walk down the street and someone asked you if you wanted a job?
I didn't have to walk down the street. The guy approached me. So I was outside working on the building, and it was the rest is history.
Who did you work for then?
Then it was called K&V Florists. It was a florist shop.
Really?
Yeah.
So what did you do?
I was doing outside maintenance. I loved carpentry work, so I was building a new facade on the outside of the building, kind of renovating the exterior of it, and that was absolutely my passion, was doing general carpentry work.
Oh, okay. And did you get to do a lot of that?
I did, yes.
Yeah. What kind of things did you work on
outside of that? Yeah, it was doing a lot of remodeling on the inside and outside. And when I found out what this job entailed, it was building buildings. So it was exactly what my passion was.
Yeah. Building buildings.
Yes.
So you kind of lucked into it. You just kind of took the job because it was a pay increase, but it happened to be something you enjoyed doing.
Absolutely. I had no idea what the job entailed when I said yes.
What did the company look like then? Were there a lot of people you worked with, or was it a small company?
It was a small company, yeah. We had a total of 6 employees in the overall production and manufacturing operation.
So when did it shift from florist to more construction work?
Well, that was, again, that was back in 1970. That was where we actually started building buildings the year before that for the company that I own today. And it's just kind of built from there.
Okay, that's where it all started. What car did you drive in 1970?
I had a 1965 Ford F-150 pickup truck.
Oh, not bad. Probably could still run today if you needed it.
I wish I still had it.
Okay, so that's where it started. What was your engagement with the management and the ownership there? Were you just someone that did their thing, or were you actively working with the owners in the company?
Well, I didn't even meet the owner until about 6 months after I had been working there.
Yeah.
And it was a remote facility, about probably 8 miles away from the home office. The small little building that was kind of located between Page and Lindbergh. And it was a little 5,000 square foot building that that we started manufacturing in 1969.
So where does Henges come from? Because there was Gordon Henges, and how does that play into it?
Well, Gordon Henges was he started the business back in 1932.
Oh, great!
So we have pretty deep roots here in St. Louis. Gordon sold the business to his son, Jay Henges, in 1969. Originally, the Henges Company was in the residential and commercial construction business, primarily providing floor covering and insulation, which is the same thing we do today. And Jay acquired the assets from his father in 1969, and I started working with Jay in 1970.
Great. You didn't know Jay at all before that time?
I had no idea who
he was. How many years did you guys work together?
Well, I still see Jay pretty often. Jay is now 91 years old. And when I bought the business 10 years ago, I told Jay he has an office with me forever. Yeah, he's just a great guy.
So did you purchase the business from Jay?
I did.
So you would be basically the third owner, third generation in that sense.
That's correct.
Right. And it's something that started in the 1930s. So when did the company start to expand out some more? And because you guys offer and you have different divisions right now, and you guys offer different things to the company. What was the year that it started to expand, and where did you see it start to expand?
Really started expanding in the mid-70s. You know, both the flooring insulation and the manufacturing operation. We built our new building in Earth City in 1974. We were actually the first landowner and the second building to be built in Earth City. Uh-huh. Back in we started construction in 73 and we moved in 74, and more than doubled the size of our facility for all three divisions, which was the Hinges Interiors, Hinges Insulation, and we converted our name from Parking to Porta King in that year when we established our new location in our city. Mm-hmm. And that's when things really started taking off, especially in 1973 is when OPEC hit. Mm-hmm. And that's the oil embargo from Iran, and we saw gas prices increase more than 45% overnight. Mm-hmm. And back at that time, we were primarily full-service gas stations. Hmm. And due to the increase in pricing, the whole industry changed to self-serve. And so we were making little pump island booths where an attendant would sit on the island where the pumps were at, and they would collect the money. Hmm. So it was a way for the oil jobbers to maintain cost control and eliminate a lot of the overhead that it had in personal service about washing windows. In my era, you filled up your car. When I first started driving, they'd come out and wash your window and fill your car up, and that was the last of that era.
I've only seen that in movies and television shows. Never experienced it myself, except visiting family in New Jersey. You're still not allowed to pump gas out there. They come out and do that for you.
That's correct. And today we still build buildings for New Jersey where they have a full-time attendant that actually does the full service. They don't allow self-serve gas stations.
How many different states do you guys service?
We service the continental United States, mm-hmm. including we do work in Alaska and Hawaii, too.
Wow, great.
And a lot of international work, too, on the military side.
Does that mean you get to travel a lot?
I used to travel a lot. Now I don't travel so much. I have a vice president of sales. We have 10 regional offices around the country on the Porta King side. Mm-hmm. So it's really left up to my son Chris does some traveling, mm-hmm. Prefabricated building side, doing a lot of the large projects where they need more assistance.
More from Steve, Mike, and Chris Schulte from Hinges Interiors next on The Business of Family Business, presented by CMA Consulting. And you heard from Dan Bean there. Two-thirds of family businesses do not make the generational transition. So as you hear this story, you know that it's intentional of what happens next in the company. But not every business owner has that option. Many family businesses identify the successor, but very few actively work to unify the next generation to help them develop into effective owners. That's why I want to tell you about CMA Consulting. And if you haven't checked them out yet, you should, as they support effective family business ownership in unity of the next generation. Their website, cmaconsult.com, or you can call Dan Bean at 314-721-1860. If you are a business owner, when was the last time the members discussed how to apply insights into the business? And if you're a family business, when was the last time you discussed it as a family? Don't wait any longer. Go to cmaconsult.com or call them 314-721-1860. Welcome back to The Business of Family Business. I'm your host, Ryan Recker, and CMA Consulting presents this program along with Dan Bean, who is in studio, with Steve, Mike, and Chris Schulte from Hinges Interiors. So what does a large project look like?
Well, a large project could be a complete outfitting of an upgrade remodel of an airport, mm-hmm. where we would do all of the attendant booths for long-term, short-term parking. Mm-hmm. We do a lot of border crossing work that's mm-hmm. Between U.S. and Mexico and U.S. and Canada. We build a lot of the high-security ballistic-rated buildings to protect the borders. Mm-hmm. seaports around the country. We protect every seaport in the continental United States, including Puerto Rico, with high security buildings that U.S. Customs and Border Patrol sits in, and every ISO container that comes off every ship is X-rayed, monitored through one of our buildings.
Steve Schulte, you talked about your very start where you were building some woodwork outside of a flower shop. Now you're talking about making giant seaport buildings and doing all of this. That seems like a pretty big leap. How did you guys get involved into some of these really large contracting deals?
It was a it was a slow growth at first. With what we were doing. Again, we've grown our business internally by doing something we hadn't done before and designing it and developing it and creating a market for it. 9/11 is what really put us on the map from the security side of our business. It was a small component of our business back in before 9/11. But today that is a major component.
So the demand grew.
The demand grew. Yes, the demand grew for high security applications, and we were sending buildings all over in theater, Iraq, Kuwait, Afghanistan. That's used for protection of our national assets. Every military base is protected by our buildings for the first line of security. We built towers, so secured facilities on top of towers for observation.
So did you have any government contracts before then?
Yes, we've been on the GSA contract for probably, and Chris, you can probably answer that question better, probably 25 years.
A little over 20 years.
Yeah.
Chris Schulte and Mike Schulte sitting here too, your sons.
Yes.
Who are also involved in the company. Maybe we can introduce them. When did you guys get involved?
So we both got involved really out of grade school. Dad would pick us up from school and we would come in and whatever needed to get done, wash windows, pull weeds.
Sweep the parking lot.
Sweep the parking lot.
Very
anything that
jobs.
Needed to be done that Dad didn't want to pay money for.
Yeah.
Really is how we kind of started. And that was just kind of part-time on and off throughout grade school. And then it was really when we were 16 when we really started working for the company full-time.
I see. So you were always kind of around. And then it got to the point where you're like, wow, I can work now, so this is what I should do.
That's right.
That's just how it worked out. So ever since then, maybe around 16, have you worked consistently, or was there a gap? Maybe you went away for college or anything like that?
Yeah. After we turned 16, we would pretty much spend our entire summers working full-time, 3 months that we were off. And in winter over Christmas break, we would also come in, work warehouse, load insulation trucks, flooring trucks, make deliveries, stuff like that. We both did go away to college and obviously took that time off, but in the summers again, would come back and work for the operation doing stuff that, needed to get done, the loading of the insulation trucks, delivering flooring, so on and so forth.
One of the unique things about this story that I'm learning is the timing of buying into the business, because maybe wasn't always the intention for you to purchase the business, but it was almost a family decision for you guys to purchase the business. So, Steve, let me ask you about that. Just 10 years ago, you ended up purchasing. Can you talk about your decision on why you decided to do that?
I'd be delighted to, because it was a pretty important part of our family life. And it was a point in time that Jay and I had talked about the transition of ownership, but it was a situation that he didn't want to turn loose, and finally got to the point where...
Well, he'd have been about 81 at the time.
That's correct.
Yeah.
That's correct. And while there was no succession plan that he had established, he knew that I had aspirations to do more to take over the business. But nothing was ever really established to do that. So when Jay decided that he was willing to sell, I said, first thing I asked him is, well, I'm going to have to take time to make this decision. I want to talk to my family. So I talked to both Chris and Mike and my wife. And really all my kids, my daughter too. I have a daughter that's not involved in the business. And let them make that decision. I said, I really am at the age of my life. I'm you know, 54 years old, and you know, it's an undertaking. But in order for me to do that, I'm not going to do it unless there's an established succession plan for mm-hmm. that business. And so I let the decision be made to Mike and Chris. If they wish to take over the business upon my, you know, desire to leave or become less involved, I should say, I'll mm-hmm. never leave. But when I decide to be less involved in the business, then they have to be willing, able, and capable, and have the burning desire to carry the business forward.
I've heard that one before. But this, it sounds like you're working on a solid plan, which is very important. The planning is something that you put up and can't really compromise on, because you want to make sure you're doing it correct. I want to ask Dan Bean about this from CMA Consulting. Can you kind of talk about the timing of what it was like to purchase this business and your thoughts on that?
So I think it's an amazing story for Steve at age 54 to buy this business, in essence, for his sons. Mm-hmm. And I think it's an amazing amount of confidence that he has in them, and it's an amazing amount of aspiration and goal-oriented behavior that Chris and Mike exhibited by encouraging his father to do that and committing to that. I don't know, guys, how old you were, but you were not all that old, because you're still pretty young, and this is 10 years ago. So I think this is just an amazing story, an amazing aspect to this story that should be an inspiration for a lot of family businesses out there, or families that want to be in business together.
Yeah. Henges Interiors, let's kind of talk about that, the decision on your guys' end. Your guys' commitment, you must have been really 100% in at that time, or were you still trying to figure out what you wanted to do at that time?
Well, for me, gosh, from the time I can remember being probably 10 years old.
Yeah.
And watching Dad and watching him work, and just having that, you know, leader that he was. And mm-hmm. I was like, that's who I want to be when I grow up. So all through growing up, through middle school, high school, into college, when I first went off to college, I was going to be, I think my original degree was in business. And mm-hmm. we went on a tour of the college for the first time, and we started seeing this manufacturing engineering. And Dad's like, that would be so much fun, mm-hmm. and that would be so neat for you to do, to carry on the legacy. And I saw what he... I saw the value in that, mm-hmm. And knowing the manufacturing side of the business. So I geared my whole education towards, you know, having this goal of eventually taking over for Dad and taking over the business. And, you know, and then everything in my life past that is mm-hmm. Has been to fulfill that dream.
Yeah.
I remember when he first told us that, you know, I think I'm going to retire. And I think my jaw hit the floor. I was like, what am I doing? Why am I
you thought it was
going down
fools.
This path? And then we're potentially going to have to turn my life around and find another path to go. And that's when he told us that, you know, if you guys want to take on this challenge, then, you know, we can continue down the road to buy the business.
And, yeah. Steve, did you use that as a motivator to test them a little, to see what their interest level was?
Well, I can tell you I challenge these two on a regular basis. And so, yeah, that was kind of a motivating, you know, factor that, you know, when – and I happened to be with Mike when he toured the Southeast Missouri State for this manufacturing technology program. Mm-hmm. And I think my statement was to him, I wish – I would have taken that course.
That was the statement.
Yeah, and so yes, it was a challenge that for, you know, Chris was in on the business side through his degree, business and finance, and Mike headed towards the manufacturing side and did very well and ultimately got his a full ride scholarship for his master's in manufacturing technology. And then I challenged them both as recent as probably 6 years ago, mm-hmm. If they wish to continue on to get their higher education, that I would, you know, see through that they receive that. So,
asking the current and next generations of Henges Interiors what the future holds, we're going to continue our conversation with Steve, Mike, and Chris Schulte. Also, Dan Bean from CMA Consulting next on the Business of Family Business. Welcome back to The Business of Family Business. I'm your host, Ryan Recker, and this program presented by CMA Consulting. Dan Bean from CMA is in studio with us. And if you have a family business story you would like to share on this program, we would love to hear from you. Reach out to Dan Bean, the website, to get his info, cmaconsult.com. Also in studio with Steve, Mike, and Chris Schulte from Hinges Interiors. The question started to rise, what is going to be the future of this company when it comes to Hinges Interiors, and what's going to be your role in that company? What was that like 10 years ago for you?
It was a very emotional decision. I remember, you know, when we all talked about this, and, you know, we're all, this company has been our life throughout our entire lives. Mm-hmm. So it was a very, very emotional and important decision that we were both very, very much in mm-hmm. to this decision. Mm-hmm. And 10 years ago, we're both in our 20s, and we weren't really sure where we were going. Mm-hmm. But
what was that say? Well, how did your dad guide you along and encourage you and help you figure out the path you're on today?
Just really through a lot of encouragement and a lot of challenges. Being, you know, the son of the boss, mm-hmm. the SOB, as we get called sometimes. You know, it's you're put on a different level. You're mm-hmm. you're always kind of under the microscope, and he made it very clear that there was no special treatment for us.
Right. I want to talk to Dan Bean from CMA Consulting about this, because I think next generation in the company, they're always faced with some sort of question if they're going to take a role in the company, or maybe when it comes time to retirement, what's going to happen with the company in this sense. This is a very unique type of story. You mentioned this a little bit before, but have you ever seen that where maybe the main decision was made based on the intentions of the next generation?
I think this one's unique. I think this is the first time I've come across this aspect, this dimension in a story.
Yeah.
I don't know of any other family business where the family bought the business primarily for the benefit of the next generation.
Right.
So this, to me, is unique.
We've heard stories where maybe one person started a business because they wanted to have some stability in the family, and they also had some kids or in the next generation that had some interest in it, but not really one where 30-some years well-established, maybe thinking about retirement or something along the future, but then involving the kids in that decision.
Yeah, I think the key point is, Steve said, I can retire or I can buy this business if you guys are willing to run it when I want to step away. And that's a walk away, or I buy it for you guys.
Yeah.
And they obviously chose the latter path.
Steve, you heard from your two sons, Mike and Chris. You also have a daughter who's involved in some way. What was her reaction about 10 years ago?
Well, you know, I sat all three of the kids down when I presented this opportunity to them. And, you know, my daughter's a preschool teacher. She's in now about her 18th year of preschool teaching. And that's her passion. Mm-hmm. She has a passion. She's never had the desire to be in the business. Mm-hmm. She is truly an educator. You know, her husband works for us in the company. Mm-hmm. But I made it very clear that this was an immediate family business, mm-hmm. and that the ownership would be strictly with my children. Alicia is part owner. My daughter's part owner in the business. Mm-hmm. Each of my kids and my grandkids as a whole entity, all seven of my natural grandkids are part owners in the business.
Wow. Is that your hope one day, that it goes to the fifth, sixth generation and beyond?
Absolutely. Yeah, that will be each of the grandkids' desire and their kids and so on and so on. But, you know, I'd love to see this company continue on. You know, it's while we're not in a total recession-proof business, mm-hmm. we have a lot of diversification between the divisions of our company. And, you know, I believe that while we've sustained since 1932, mm-hmm. I believe that we can continue on for many, many, many years to come.
Yeah. We talked a little briefly about it before, some of the different divisions of Hinges Interiors. So can we go a little bit into each of them and some of what each of those divisions contribute to the main company?
Absolutely, yes. Yeah, to kind of put the big picture together, our corporate entity is called J. Hinges Enterprises. Mm-hmm. Under J. Hinges Enterprises umbrella consists of Hinges Interiors, which that is an insulation company, and a flooring company in St. Louis. We do primarily commercial and residential insulation and flooring products, about 60% residential, about 40% mm-hmm. Commercial. Mm-hmm. We have an operating division in Kansas City called Hinges Insulation, which is also an insulation company. We have Porta King, which mm-hmm. both Mike and Chris are directly involved in. That's our largest operating division, and we manufacture different types of structures, mm-hmm. implant offices, guard booths, toll booths, structural mezzanines, mm-hmm. towers. Kind of a unique application. We've built the towers for videoing for the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, so, cool.
We have in their brand new $2 billion practice stadium.
That's a fun one, though.
It is fun. Yeah. That's what's really unique about our business, especially on the Porta King side, is we get involved in so many unique applications that really sets us apart from our competition. And, our regional managers around the country really are motivated to fulfill those niche markets. And we find a niche market, then we create a market of growing that opportunity, which we have done on the tower side of our business.
I bet you traveled for that one to check it out.
Well, actually, my regional manager and my vice president said, "We'll take care of it."
Hey. But you also do commercial contracting, too.
We do. Yeah. The commercial contracting side of our business is a division within the management team of the Porta King side, and mm-hmm. we do tenant finish, remodel work, all types of structures. We even the products we sell in St. Louis on the Porta King side, the commercial contracting division actually does all the installations.
Hmm. Do these four divisions work independently from each other, or are they always working with each other?
Well, they are independent. Each of them are standalone. Division mm-hmm. Responsible for their own profits and losses. We have presidents of each of the divisions that oversee it. But we do cross-sell products all the time. Mm-hmm. On the Porta King side specifically, they'll be selling in St. Louis insulation products and flooring products to go along with our implant offices that we install across the Midwest.
We'll continue one last time with Steve, Mike, and Chris Schulte from Hinges Interiors on The Business of Family Business. It's presented by CMA Consulting. I'm your host, Ryan Recker. Dan Bean joins us in studio, too. And you heard about how CMA leads a multidisciplinary team to help family businesses unify the next generation. How important really is it to have that next generation on the same page? Because if there's a ownership or even a leadership opportunity for that next generation, you want to make sure that they can also be effective owners. And that's where CMA Consulting can help. If you haven't already reached out to them to discuss your family business, you should. It doesn't hurt to call. There's a complimentary, no-obligation meeting to discuss your family business. You can get info at cmaconsult.com. That website, again, cmaconsult.com. So they have talent experts, which is important, too, to assess your talent. Tax and accounting, legal, banking, risk management. If you haven't already had the conversation with the next generation about these things, let CMA help facilitate that. Make sure you're putting them on the right track. Obviously, you want the company to succeed after you retire. CMA excels in helping increase the odds of a successful generational transition. And we know you love the next generation, too. You want to also keep that family harmony. Here's the website again. Don't forget it. cmaconsult.com. It has all the info on there, including their phone number. It doesn't hurt to call Dan Bean and ask him, "What can you do for our family business?" The number is 314-721-1860. Welcome back to The Business of Family Business. I'm your host, Ryan Recker. Again, I want to thank our guests in studio, Steve, Mike, and Chris Schulte from Hinges Interiors. If you missed any part of this interview, you can go back and listen to it. Go to the podcast section at KMOX.com and click on The Business of Family Business. You can actually listen to previous episodes on there, too. I also want to thank Dan Bean from CMA Consulting joining us here. And if you have a family business that has a story that would be interesting for this program, we're still looking for more stories to tell. Reach out to Dan Bean. You can find his info at cmaconsult.com. You talked about some of the ups and downs in the industry that you've seen over the past couple of decades, and you mentioned the one when it came to oil and the gas prices rising. You mentioned after September 11th and demand for some of the security aspects of the company. What are some of those other trends that you've seen that have impacted your company?
Well, the big trend that impacted our company was the year after I bought the company in 2008. That's when the recession hit, and of course, here I am with a substantial debt over my head, and we lose 45% of our business. Basically, it seemed like it was overnight, but it took about a year for that to happen, and that was on the interior side. Mm-hmm. Our insulation and flooring divisions in St. Louis and Kansas City. It was a dramatic effect that really hurt those operating divisions.
Because people stopped building for a while. It was really slowed down.
That's correct, yes.
Right.
It was a lot of our customer base, the home builders in St. Louis, there was a lot of them that went out of business.
Mm-hmm. But the contract with the government, did that seem to be going strong still? Was that something that was maybe picking up some pace?
Yes. Fortunately, our Porta King operation was going very, very strong at that point, and it really did carry us through that recession. Both our security side of the business, the government spending was still rolling very strong. It was just before sequestration, but that part of the business was very, very strong, as was our industrial sector of building implant offices and structural mezzanines. You know, that side of our business really carried us through the recession and helped the other divisions. I invested a lot of money in the other divisions through that process to keep from losing personnel to keep that afloat.
So that must have been pretty difficult for you. You make this decision, you purchase the company, and then there's a big change in the markets where people are just not building like they used to. So that was probably a very stressful time for you and your family, because you keep the family pretty close. But you made it through, and you continued to expand. You actually do more now even. I think there's some real estate in there.
Absolutely, yes. Through the past 8 years, we have acquired all the real estate holdings that we currently operate, and I've established a separate company that strictly run by myself and my three children.
Mm-hmm.
So we manage a portfolio of about 350,000 square foot of real estate, and all directly related to our family holdings.
Yeah. I want to go back to about 10 years ago, and after you see some of the market issues that we had in 2008, 2009, and I want to ask this to both Mike and Chris. At this point, your father made the commitment. He purchases the company. You guys are very well involved, and you're on the track for, you know, ownership and down the line. What was that like for you guys? Did you feel like, oh boy, this is really tough? Was it something that you were able to grasp the severity of it at the time, or really were you still learning in the company, in the business, that maybe the full impact of it wasn't known?
Yeah, I think that we were still learning at that point. I mean, at that point, myself, I was more, you know, pretty much just in the manufacturing side of it.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, that business was still pretty strong.
Mm-hmm.
So we saw what was going on in the interiors division, mm-hmm. but didn't really impact me so much.
Right. Because you're talking about the longevity of the company, and of course your dad is looking at the whole picture, the big mm-hmm. picture of everything, and
right.
putting it all together. Yeah.
Well, for me, I was actually not in the business at the time. I was, one of Dad's rules, and I think it's a fantastic rule, is that you got to go outside the business and get outside experience before you can come back and work for the company. Mm-hmm. So I went to work for another manufacturing company. I was working there. I started there in probably 2005. I was with them during that whole transition happened when he bought the company.
Yeah.
And he didn't bring it home. He took a lot of that burden on his own shoulders, and I know it did affect him. He didn't bring it home, and he didn't let everybody else sulk in it.
Let me ask this to Dan Bean from CMA Consulting. There's two things I heard there that we hear maybe a common theme on the business of family business. One, which is get some outside experience from the next generation, which they can bring back into the company, which is something that a lot of business owners encourage of their kids. The other side of it is maybe having a separate holding for the real estate, and that seems to be pretty common as well.
Both of those are very common principles. The letting the next generation go work elsewhere does a lot to build their competence, to build their confidence, and to build their credibility when they do come into the business as the son of the boss, which was mentioned earlier. Mm-hmm. And the assets, whether it's land or equipment, in a separate corporation is just a smart move to try to protect the assets of the business.
Mm-hmm. Mike and Chris, what is it like working with your father, and what are some of those things you've learned from him over the past decade?
Well, working with family always has its ups and downs, but it's always had more ups and downs, and that's what's very important. Daddy always holds us to a different standard from everybody else. I remember being 16, 17 years old and working out in the warehouse, and Dad would come out probably a couple times a day, and I remember one of the shop foremans out there say, "What are you guys doing? He's never out here, and he's out here every day now that you guys are working here." And so I didn't realize he was really kind of keeping a close eye on us, but but he was. And but it that instilled that work ethic to, I've got to work harder, smarter than, not to say I work harder than everybody else, because we have a lot of guys who work their tails off. But it's them, the seeing them, it's the employees seeing. Mm-hmm. That he holds us to a higher standard, and you know, we're not coming in with silver spoons and being handed something. We want to make sure that we work for everything that we get.
Chris, you've had an opportunity to work with your dad more closely over the past decade. What are some of those things you picked up from him?
Picking up how important relationships are in business. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a lot of longstanding vendors and dealers and customer base. Mm-hmm. You know, that's
and employees
too. Mm-hmm. We have an unbelievable tenure with our employees in the business. To me, that all stems from the upper management. Mm-hmm. People respect who they're working for and want to give their all. And you know, that's kind of where we're at.
Yeah. And Steve, I want to mention something Mike just said. He said you were keeping an eye on them. What does that mean for you to see your sons and the company working together, and what have you observed over the past decade or so since they've joined in?
Well, one of the things that I really saw in the quality in these two, you know, fairly early in life, they have two total different personalities. Mm-hmm. Chris is more of a, you know, fun, go-loving type of guy, you know, enjoys being around people, enjoys a party, mm-hmm. and Mike is kind of a, you know, stand back, observe, mm-hmm. and then interject when the opportunity is. So I saw two qualities there that I thought, you know, I really think before I even, you know, this was long before I even considered buying the company, that these two really could work together. And as they matured more and you see the direction that each of them have gone in their education, it allowed them to respect what each of them do, but also not have a conflict in what they do. You know, from their educational background to how they communicate, and that was one of the demands that I put on in making this decision, mm-hmm. Of buying the company, is that I will not tolerate any jealousy or anything that goes on between any of my family members. The family's more important to me than the business was at that point. Mm-hmm. And if we couldn't, you know, work together, and knowing each of you share responsibilities but also have your independent responsibilities and accept who you're going to be in the business, the younger one may be the one that runs the business. Mm-hmm. The older one may run the business, but they can't be jealous of each other. But I've always treated the two of them the same in everything they do, and have, you know, high expectations of what they do. And just as they mentioned, I expect more out of them than I do any other employees, because mm-hmm. they have to set themselves to a higher standard. I've kind of grew up in a business thinking I should know everything that goes on in that company. If I can't do it, then I can't tell somebody else to do it. That's what I have, that same expectations of them through every one of our operational divisions. They've got to learn that from the ground floor up,
right,
and know how to treat people, what it takes to be successful.
Is it true you kept an extra close, watchful eye on them over the years?
Yes, very, very much so. Yeah, and I'm not afraid to tell them when I see them not doing what I would like for them to do.
Yep, don't be standing in a warehouse. You should be pushing a broom or something.
My own comment: if you can lean, you can clean.
That's right.
Leaning on a broom is not good.
Yep, even walking out in the parking lot after work, there's a piece of trash on the ground in the parking lot. You pick it up.
Dan Bean from CMA Consulting. Can I get your thoughts on the story you just heard today?
I think the most unique aspect of this story is Steve buying this business for the next generation. His vision for what his sons could be individually and by working together stands out as awesome. How they managed to acquire this business at the beginning of the recession and pay their note and also continue to acquire assets from competitors and make all of that work is just a tremendous story. So this seems like Chris and Mike ought to have a great career in this family business.
Yeah. Congratulations on all the success of Henges Interiors. And guys, thanks for coming in, sharing your story here today on the Business of Family Business.